Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joel Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service in Avon, right off I-94. They wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a very prosperous and a fantastic new year in 2025 right around the corner. Well, our final program here for 2024, we are going to look back a bit and do so with our friends from Brownfield Ag News and look at some of the top agriculture stories. And we begin with fellow farm broadcaster Brent Barnett at Brownfield Ag News.
At the start of 2024, there was some optimism among U.S. trade officials that the biotech corn dispute between the U.S. and Mexico would be resolved in a timely manner. The U.S. disputed Mexico's ban on GMO corn for human consumption, saying it violated GMO provisions under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. Chief Ag Negotiator Doug McCaleb in February said progress had been pushed back in 2023 due to the translation of materials.
Dealing with complex science, genetics, etc., which can be hard for an individual even in their own native language, but we wanted to make sure that we were crystal clear, that the translations were crisp. That set us back a little bit on timeline.
Meanwhile, later that next week, the vice president of the U.S. Grains Council said the top market for U.S. corn was buying more yellow corn than usual.
They're up about 33% versus a year ago.
Kerry Sifrith told Brownfield.
Feed and livestock industry and the cornstarch wheat industry there continues to grow. Mexico's had some drought conditions, so they're even their own local crop is down and probably will be down as they start to harvest their main corn crop in June.
Bud Sifrith said U.S. white corn exports to Mexico were declining because of the country's GMO corn ban. However, he said additional business in other countries could help offset some of the impacts.
Colombia, El Salvador, a little bit even into Venezuela, Guatemala, where they also have white corn import needs. Those have actually grown a bit.
As the issue continued through the spring with no resolution, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee expressed disappointment in the performance of the U.S. trade representative during a hearing in mid-April. Missouri Republican Jason Smith said that the last time U.S. Ambassador Catherine Tai came before the committee, he was very optimistic about the work that could be accomplished to deliver results for American farmers, workers, and manufacturers.
Unfortunately, today, I'm less optimistic, as the administration has continued to pursue a trade agenda that ignores Congress to the detriment of the American worker and American leadership on trade.
Ambassador Tai defended the Biden administration's trade approach, calling it open-minded and innovative.
By questioning and testing old assumptions, revisiting norms, and thinking creatively and strategically all at the same time.
Tai said through the USMCA, her office was actively championing the interest of American farmers by disputing Mexico's GMO corn ban and Canada's dairy tariff rate quota allocation measures. In the late summer of 2024, a senior advisor for the Institute for Ag and Trade Policy said Mexico's new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, was expected to continue restricting GMO white corn imports. Timothy Wise told Brownfield.
Her new agriculture secretary, Julio Verdeguer, has been pretty public on record saying we're not going to have GM corn and tortillas. And it's provocative because he's saying it, even if they lose this case, they're going to seek other measures to allow them to restrict GM corn and tortillas.
Wise said while Mexico was expected to focus on becoming more self-sufficient in white corn production, the new government was considering relaxing the government's goal of replacing all yellow corn imports.
The new ag minister said they don't think they can achieve self-sufficiency in yellow corn in this six-year term, so they're going to relax that.
Despite the controversy and continued uncertainty, a farmer in northwestern Missouri said that buyers in Mexico were still interested in white corn from the U.S.
Basically what it came down to, what their opinion was, is all politics. It's kind of the changes in the administration.
Dylan Rozier from Holt County hosted a delegation of Mexican buyers on his farm in October.
Food prices will go up if the GM ban, you know, goes through, is implemented across the board. I don't think anybody that they definitely didn't want to see that, and they know that they need our corn to keep that along.
And much like the farm bill, the decision came in the final hour of 2024. A dispute panel ruled Mexico's GMO corn ban violated its commitments under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. Mexico now has 45 days to react to the ruling.
Thanks, Brent. That sounds like it could be another story we'll be following well into 2025. Excitement continued to build in 2024 over the prospect of sustainable aviation fuel development. Brandon Peoples has the story.
As the push to decarbonize the commercial airline industry continued, different states looked to cash in on the developing market. In August, DG Fuels announced plans for a sustainable aviation fuel production facility in central Nebraska using cellulosic biomass in the form of lower-value agricultural byproducts such as corn stover as its carbon feedstock. Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen called it a big win for the state's bioeconomy.
There were 10 states, and once we were able to get in front of that company and show them what we have in Nebraska, it was clear he came to Nebraska.
In September, a coalition including Delta Airlines and XL Energy announced plans to develop a blending facility south of the Twin Cities. Peter Frock with the Greater MSP Partnership in Minnesota told Brownfield it would likely be the first plant between the coasts able to blend neat SAF with conventional jet fuel.
There are almost none of these blending facilities in the country, and they're obviously critical building blocks to creating an at-scale SAF economy anywhere.
But sustainable aviation fuel also faced some growing pains in 2024. Highwater Ethanol CEO Brian Kletcher says the technology needs to be right for ethanol facilities to produce SAF.
We're waiting for that technology to come forward, and technology needs to be bankable. And what that means is you need your lenders to be able to understand the technology, that it works, and these facilities are not cheap to build.
Speaking to Brownfield at the Commodity Classic in March, Southeast Iowa farmer Dan Keitzer said the government wants the airline industry to use 3 billion gallons of sustainable aviation fuel annually by 2030.
Obviously, ethanol can be a big part of that. Also, corn oil, soybean oil can be a big part of that.
He says getting to that goal won't be easy.
Unfortunately, the ethanol that we currently produce in the Midwest, coming out of most of our Midwest plants, is not low enough in carbon to qualify to be able to be made by that.
According to the Clean Fuels Alliance, only 20 million gallons of sustainable aviation fuel is currently being produced. Driving much of the discussion in 2024 was the development of the Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit, also known as 45Z, replacing the 40B credit. American Coalition for Ethanol CEO Brian Jennings says the new credit won't have as many restrictions.
There will not be this requirement that you've got to do three specific practices on all of your acres to qualify. There will be more flexibility for farmers and others in the system.
45Z guidance has been expected on or before January 1st. However, in early December, a U.S. Treasury spokesman told Brownfield the Treasury anticipates issuing guidance before the end of the Biden administration. Renewable Fuels Association Senior Vice President Troy Breedenkamp says he's not surprised by reports a full-fledged 45Z regulation won't be finalized by Inauguration Day, but says a full-blown rulemaking may not be necessary.
We are pleased that the administration officials that we still talk to are still telling us that they intend to issue guidance that will allow producers to demonstrate sufficient detail and ways to claim the credit for 2025 tax year.
He says it's also critically important the U.S. Treasury's guidance provides safe harbor for taxpayers claiming the credit, and the credits claimed for 2025 cannot be clawed back if additional 45Z regulations are adopted in the future.
Checking in with Brownfield Ag News, just some of the many highlights and ag stories of 2024 here on Chasm Radio. Thank you to the whole Brownfield crew as we look ahead to another busy ag year in 2025. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report, I'm Joe Gill.